Lord, thank you so much for your precious word. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And I pray in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit that we would have open Bibles along with open hearts to receive your word, which is like seed, and that it would be planted within good, rich soil, that we would bear much fruit. Thank you for everybody here this morning, Lord. Most of all, we thank you for you being here. This is your church. These are your precious people that you paid for in your precious blood. And so, Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive what you have for us in your precious word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As usual, just a little bit of an introduction, just in case you weren't here last week. Our text now returns to Jacob's son, Joseph. That's where the title comes from. You probably thought, what's Pastor Joe doing, teaching a sermon on himself? But you know what? That's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. The Lord was with Joseph. And I'll tell you this as well. You can remove the word Joseph and put your name in there. The Lord is with you. And that's what the message is all about here this morning. I want to encourage you, no matter what you are going through, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're of the family of God, he is with you every step of the way. We've seen that in the life of Joseph. When he was in the pit, the Lord was with him. Now he's in the palace, and the battle's not over for Joseph. We're going to see how the Lord is with him as well again this morning. And so back in chapter 37, we learned that of Jacob's 12 sons, Joseph was his favorite. Joseph was his favorite, and it was for good reason. Not that Joseph was seeking to be the favorite in the family, but it was because who was in him? The Lord. He was a young man of integrity. He was a young man of good character, responsibility. And as we'll continue to see here this morning, he loved and feared the Lord. Another word, fear there means to reverence the Lord. Yes, we love the Lord, but we need to reverence him as well. It was for those reasons and more that Jacob loved Joseph, and he made for him a tunic of many colors, a coat of many colors. This, in turn, caused tremendous jealousy amongst his brothers, all 11 of them, to the point that they actually, and this blows me away, this shows what jealousy will do if you don't eradicate it, get rid of it through the blood of Jesus Christ. It will grow into anger, and it grew into the fact that they wanted to kill their brother. You see what sin does? It never says enough. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And it will grow if you don't remove it. Long story short, instead of plotting to kill Joseph, they threw him in a pit. That was where the message was a couple of weeks ago that was entitled, When Life is the Pits. And sometimes we can experience that as believers, can't we? Life can be the pits. But again, the Lord was with Joseph even in the pit. We don't find him complaining one time while he was in the pit. I believe he was praying to his Lord, but not one word. They actually sold him into slavery. The Midianites were passing by, and they happened to see the Midianites on their way down to Egypt, and they sold him to the Midianites. And that's where we pick it up here in verse 1. Genesis 39, 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. All the while, from being sold into slavery, taken down to Egypt, and being sold to Potiphar, we don't find even one word of complaining from Joseph. Why? And it's for good reason. If you were here when we began the story of Joseph, God gave Joseph a dream. Two dreams, actually. Two prophetic dreams. And Joseph believed God at his word. That's true today to you and I. If you want to be without stress, worry, if you want it to be, just as we sang a moment ago, well with your soul, hold on to the word of God. Hold on to every promise, because for Joseph, in those two prophetic dreams, God gave him promises of what was going to take place, and he held on to those. And I think especially in the times in which we live today, folks, we need to hold on to the promises of God. Prophetically, we are right there for the trump to sound. And I'm not talking the Donald. I'm talking the trump of God. That's the all-important trump today. And so every scripture verse that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 has pretty much been fulfilled. Someone sent me an article again the other day about the third temple being ready to be built in Jerusalem right now. So Joseph had two prophetic dreams. And even with all that was taking place in his life, with these dreams, with the promises of God, he was sold into slavery, taken down to Egypt, a pagan nation filled with idolatry. Now he's sold to Potiphar, verse 1 tells us. How was Joseph able to withstand all that was going on in his life? I'm glad you asked. Because the answer to that question is in verse 2. Look what it says. The Lord was with Joseph. I repeat, the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And again, as I mentioned a moment ago, you can put your name in where Joseph's name is. I've never seen a time in ministry where Christians have been struggling with so many issues. Everything from cancer to death to, you name it, just all sorts of things going on in the body of Christ today, like never before. It's almost like things are amping up because we are getting ready for the return of our King. We're getting ready for the rapture of the church. So Joseph was well aware, the Lord was with him, of the Lord being with him. We need to be as well, like never before. Are you? Are you aware of the Lord being with you? Are you assured of the Lord being with you? There's only one way that's going to happen. Are you saved? I'm going to lay it right out this morning because we are so close to the return of the Lord. I want every single one of you to be in heaven when that trumpet sounds. The Bible very clearly says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Religion will not get you to heaven. Religion is man-made works. Jesus has done all of the work already on the cross for you and I. He said, it is finished, paid in full, no balance due. And the reason we do what we do when we serve the Lord is in thanks to him for what he has done. We don't do it to be saved, we do it because we're saved. And so I admire this Joseph here, how he knew that the Lord was with him. And again, I want to encourage you this morning. I know many of you I've talked with, and many of you are going through physical, spiritual, emotional, financial issues right now. I want to encourage you here this morning. If there's anything that you leave here with, it is these four words. Five words. The Lord is with you. Do you know that? Are you assured of that? That the Lord is with you? No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're facing, I mean everything and anything, the Lord is with you. Hold on to his word. Hold on to his promises. Even his master, Potiphar, as we'll now see in verse 3, saw that the Lord was with him. And that should be true as well. If you are a believer and you're working for an unbeliever, there should be evidence in your life, not in a boastful, prideful way, that you are a believer by the way that you conduct yourself at work and by the way that you work. Why? Because we work as unto the Lord. And Potiphar even recognized, man, there's something special about this Joseph guy. Look at verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord, look at this, made all he did to prosper in his hand. Wow. Potiphar saw the Lord in Joseph. Oftentimes we don't recognize it, but people see the Lord in you by your countenance, by the way that you conduct yourself. We don't always have to preach. We're to let our light shine. And it's so important in a world that we live in today that's just getting darker and darker and darker, that our light shines and people can see Jesus reflected in our lives. And so we see here, Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord gave Joseph favor in all that he did, causing even Potiphar to prosper. Isn't that amazing? And that should be true as well. If you're a believer working in an unbelieving atmosphere, there should be evidence in your life, and it also can cause the company or whatever it may be to prosper because you're part of the company. An unbeliever, an unbelieving employer who was indifferent to God here recognized that there was something extra special about Joseph. And he hasn't even opened his mouth yet. And that it was the Lord. Look what it says. His master saw, verse 3, that the Lord was with him. Wow. Joseph's work habits, even as a slave, and by the way, that's the best term that you and I could ever receive. Jesus said, greatest in the kingdom of heaven is servant of all. Being a bond slave of the Lord is the greatest title that we can ever receive. A servant in the house of the Lord. Why? Because Jesus said of himself that he didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so it's not a put down to be a slave. It's a blessing. It's the biggest blessing anyone can ever receive. Don't you think it's a blessing to serve the Lord? Even as a slave, he had honesty, integrity, faithfulness. His work habits were all a testimony to his boss, Potiphar. Notice verse 3 again. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of the house, and all that he had put under his authority. Wow. And so it was. From the time that he had made him overseer of the house, of his house, and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Why? For Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. So look at the results of a faithful servant, of a faithful believer. What a beautiful testimony of the grace of God. God will often bless the employers of those servants who are faithful to him. Potiphar eventually came to a place where he put all that he had under Joseph's authority. Isn't that amazing? All that he had, his house, and it says, and his field. Potiphar did not concern himself with anything but the food that he ate. And all the while, the blessings of the Lord were on Potiphar and his house and his field. Look at the end of verse 6, though. We see that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Not only was Joseph a man of fine character, integrity, faithfulness on the inside, but verse 6 tells us that he was handsome on the outside as well. Yet, as we will see, his most important feature was, as we saw back in verse 2, that the Lord was on the inside. The Lord was with him. And it's one thing to be good looking on the outside, but who's living on the inside? Look at Hollywood. Recently, and I'm not going to name any names, I've seen a lot of stars and famous people in Hollywood profess that they gave their lives to Satan. That is absolutely incredible. Yeah. I'd much rather be ugly on the outside and have Jesus on the inside. Because isn't it amazing how Jesus can radiate through any vessel? And so we see here that Joseph was handsome, form and appearance. As we will see, though, his most important feature is the Lord on the inside. As believers, we all must be aware of the tactics of the enemy. It's a spiritual battle. We are not on a playground. We are on a battlefield. And I've never recognized the battlefield that we're on like I do today, years ago when I first got saved. It was almost like America was Christian Disneyland. But look at the battle that's going on now. We're teaching kids in kindergarten to question their gender. When I was a kid, tranny was that in my car, the transmission. Drag was Irwindale Raceway. And look how we've perverted things in our nation today. We're close, folks. We are very, very close for the judgment of God upon this nation. Why? Because the last straw that I've seen over history, be it Greece or Rome or wherever, great nations, was when you damage God's children, their minds, their hearts, when you pervert their lives. That is the last straw with God. It would be better if you had a millstone around your neck, Jesus said, and you were cast in the deepest part of the sea, than to cause one of his children to stumble. So it's often the case, when things are really going well, that we need to make sure that we have the full armor of God on. When you have that mountaintop experience, be careful, because the valleys are coming. When things are really going well, enjoy it. Give thanks to God. But yet keep your armor on. We need to be sure that we have the full armor of God on. And again, back in my BC days, 19 years old in Vietnam, we slept with our armor on, if you would. Steel pot, flak jacket, the whole thing. Yeah, we never took it off because the enemy knew. And that's when the lead started flying. Don't let your guard down. Temptation can be lying at the door. And that's the next phase we're going to see in the life of this handsome man by the name of Joseph. The first scripture verse I was given the day that I gave my life publicly to Jesus Christ was in the back room at Calvary West Covina. And the guy that encouraged me and prayed for me gave me 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And what he's saying is, if you are being tempted, run. Get away from it, whatever it may be. We're all tempted as believers every single day. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride, whatever it might be. And so what we need to do is to flee temptation. And so here's Joseph now enjoying this mountaintop experience, right? Potiphar's prospering, and Joseph has been given all of this authority. But what's going to happen now? Joseph will now face temptation. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass, after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." And that term is not, does not mean telling a lie. Come lie down with me. You know what that means. If you don't, ask your husband or wife. Or, you know, they'll fill you right in. Notice. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look at it when he now speaks. "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Go, Joe. Mrs. Potiphar now comes into the picture. She's checking out this hunk, this handsome man, Joseph. But when she notices Joseph, it's not in the same way that her husband did. It says she was casting eyes on Joseph. Modern terminology, she was checking him out. What Scripture refers to as the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. And she flat out asks him to lie with her. Man, she doesn't mince words, does she? She gets right to the point. Now, a married woman we have here asking a single young man to have sex with her. That's what lie with her is all about. Today, unfortunately, we have changed the terminology. Yeah. Oh, I'm not committing adultery. I'm just having an affair. We're just sleeping together. We're having safe sex. Let me tell you what God says. Adultery, fornication, sin, and those who practice these things, read it for yourself, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Very plainly. God doesn't mince words. Aren't you blown away at the terminology that's being changed in our world today? Yeah. The word gay, look what they've done with that. Look what's happened with God's rainbow. And I'm not blasting or damning these people. I pray for them. I love them. I want to see them in heaven. And so it is the truth that sets people free. And that's why we go through God's word. This is God's truth. It is God's rainbow. God also says that those who are sodomites, those who practice homosexuality, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is not a popular message here this morning, but it's God's word. And I'm just the mailman. And I'm going to have to give an account for what I share from God's pulpit when I stand before him in heaven one day. How sad that my generation, yeah, perverted the word love, free love. That was fornication. And there came out a song years later, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places." And that's what that generation was doing. How sad. Affair, sleeping together, safe sex? No. God very clearly says it's sin. Joseph, of course, knew what God called it. Look what he says. He calls it great wickedness and sin against God. Proverbs 15:3 tells us, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. God sees everything. God even knows the heart and the mind. Jesus even took it a step further, said, if you lust after a woman or lust after a man in your heart, that you've committed adultery. We have to take every thought captive. We have to be very, very careful. I remember a guy once told me, hey, I didn't take a second look. I said, yeah, your first look was about 15 minutes, though. We laugh, but it's sin. Yet the Lord was with Joseph, and he knew it. And knowing this, he refused. Check it out. Verse 8 again. He refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. Praise the Lord, Joseph, because the Lord was with him, he refused. He knew, as we just saw, it was great wickedness. Joseph knew that it was sin against God. Not even one thought of rationalization here. And that's what people can often do today, rationalize the situation. Even believers today are falling prey to sexual immorality, adultery, fornication, all these things. Oftentimes they begin to rationalize. What we need to do is step back and ask ourselves, what does the word of the Lord say? It's in black and white, it's yay and amen, it's the truth, and it's the truth, as I mentioned, that sets us free. He knew that since the creation of man, that marriage was sanctified by God. Do you know that marriage is sanctified by God to this very day? Yeah. Ecclesiastes tells us it's a three-strand cord. The husband, the wife, and then the Lord wrapped around them. That's the best marriage that you can have. Because three strands are stronger than one or even two. We have to make sure that the Lord is the one that sanctifies our marriage. No excuse. Excuses don't make it right in the eyes of God. Sin is sin. The economy has not hurt the wages of sin. It's still death. And so Joseph refuses here. Case dismissed, right? Done with. He's off the hook. Over. Well, let's see. Look at verse 10. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside. That she caught him by his garment and said, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. He hadn't even read 1 Corinthians 10:13. But he split. He left. He boogied. You won't find boogie in the Bible, but it's a modern term. So you guys can relate. Yeah. See how the enemy doesn't give up? He's persistent. Joseph refused, case dismissed, right? Wrong. Day by day, it says that she persisted, trying to wear him down. You ever experienced that in your own personal life? Where the enemy tried to wear you down. Wear you down. But he did not heed. He did not give in. He avoids, it says here, even being around her. Sin never says enough. The enemy never quits. He'll try to wear you down. And now she waits for the opportune time. I wonder where it says that there was no men around. I wonder if she sent the guys out to run some errands or something, so she could be there with Joe. Did she make sure that no one was around? I believe so. That's my own personal opinion. Well, maybe if all the men are gone, If I could just get him alone, she's probably thinking. And she catches him by his garment. Lie with me. Joseph does not use Flip Wilson 1:1. The devil made me do it. That God doesn't buy that. You cannot blame your sin on the devil. He is only the tempter. We have a free will and a free won't, and it's up to us to exercise our free won't when we're tempted. What does Joseph do? He splits. Leaves his garment in her hand. He runs. She had pulled on his garment, and he fled. He ran out of the room, out of the house. Why did he run? Because the Lord was with Joseph. When you are tempted, when I am tempted, it is so, so important during that temptation to remember, to remind yourself that the Lord is with you. We don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith. Faith in God's word, faith in knowing we're saved, faith in knowing that God is omnipresent, faith in knowing that the Lord is with you and with me. And if we will remind ourselves at that moment of temptation, we're going to split. We're out of there. I'm gone. Notice what happens now. It's been said, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. Look at verse 13. So it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he, her husband, has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me. Wait, lady, that's a lie. And I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. Wow. Man, this woman's something, isn't she? Her lustful passion now turns into a fit of rage. She now claims to the men that Joseph literally tried to rape her. And when she cried out, he ran and left his garment. And here it is. Here's proof that he tried to rape me. You know what? Years ago when I taught this text, my comment was, it's better to lose your robe than to lose your reputation. It is better to lose your robe than to lose your reputation. Run, whatever it takes. Verse 16. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him, Potiphar, with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words, when his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he, Joseph, was there in prison. Wow. The lustful lies continue. She's almost blaming her husband here for bringing this Hebrew in. The Hebrew servant you brought in, she said. Isn't that amazing? What a liar. You've heard me share a lot recently. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a liar's pants really caught on fire? Liar, liar, pants on fire? Mrs. P would be smoking. Washington, D.C. would be smoking. How sad. And again, let me just say this here this morning. The same penalty for sexual immorality is the same penalty for liars and gossips. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It is so important to be truthful, especially as believers, because God is with us. Potiphar's anger is aroused. It doesn't say who he was angry at. Joseph, his wife. Immediately he puts Joseph in prison. And there he is. Joseph is in prison. But guess who's with him? The Lord. The Lord is with Joseph in prison. Now, let me just throw this in there. And this is just, again, my own opinion, but I think it's pretty accurate. When someone attempted to rape someone in those days, they were put to death. Joseph immediately should have been decapitated, if it were true. Potiphar just puts him in prison. So do you think that maybe Potiphar knew something about the situation here? That maybe his wife was involved somehow, some way. I believe that with all my heart. Mrs. P, the deceiver. But here he is in prison. And the Lord is with Joseph. Amazing, isn't it? Look at all the places that the Lord has been with Joseph. In the pit, with the Midianites, sold into slavery. The Lord was with him when he ran. And now the Lord is with him in prison. Again, the Lord is with us. No matter where you are, no matter what the situation may be, I want you to just bury that deep within your heart and mind. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Do you get it? Are you holding on to that this morning? Because in this world, we face tribulation and trials and tests and troubles. All of us. It is so comforting that we don't come to pieces, but we have peace. Because we have the Prince of Peace that's with us in every situation. The Lord is with us. I just can't emphasize that enough here this morning. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. And I know, looking around this congregation, I know some of you are really going through some hard stuff right now. The Lord is with you. And so are we. We love you. We pray for you. You're going to make it. You're going to get through this because God never loses a battle. Never, ever, ever. And the Lord is with Joseph. And actually, like I said, Potiphar spared him. I believe that. Could it be Potiphar knew his wife? You know, with her reputation, there could have been other situations like this. But he also knew Joseph. He knew Joseph was a man of integrity. He knew that Joseph was a man of character. He knew the Lord was with Joseph. And because God was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, God shows him mercy. God gives him favor. God has the keeper of the prison give him favor. Isn't that amazing? Watch this. Huh. 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Isn't that great? In prison, God shows him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Here we go again. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because, look at this, the Lord was with him. I repeat, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made him prosper. Why do we worry? Why do we flip out? Why do we stress when the trials come? Why do we allow the enemy's worst case scenario to infiltrate our minds when the trials come? We've all done that. Why is it when something happens in our lives, we always think the worst case scenario? The enemy, fiery darts. That's why we need to keep the helmet of salvation on, to keep our minds from those fiery darts that he tries to shoot into our mind. Amazing, isn't it? Look at how God works. And again, I want you to hold on to the fact that the Lord is with you. He showed him mercy, gave him favor. Now he's overseeing the prison. Isn't that amazing how God works through his people? Because the Lord was with Joseph, and he recognized that fact, which is what we need to do. We need to recognize the fact that the Lord is with us. The Lord will make you prosper wherever you may be. As we close, the stomachs are growling out there. Just kidding. Couple of lessons as we close. Number one, God is with you if you are a believer in every single situation. Sometimes we forget, don't we? Maybe you don't, but I do, so pray for me. But sometimes we forget that God is with us in every situation. Sometimes he will allow us to go through trials and tests to prove us, to burn up the dross in our lives, to purify us. God is with you no matter what the situation. Secondly, God calls his people, like Joseph, like us, to live pure lives. Yeah. Just before the rapture of the church in Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church, tells them to get pure. And if we are close to the rapture of the church, we need to purify our lives, our heart, our mind, through the washing of the word and the renewing of our mind. Because sin grieves and even quenches the person of the Holy Spirit. God calls us to live pure lives. And you know what? When we live pure lives, it's a win-win situation, isn't it? It really is. All the way to prison, Joseph kept his integrity. Joseph's success was because God was with him. Man, I'll tell you what, I just couldn't wait to share this text this morning because I think it is so important for God's people, for the church, to be reminded that the Lord is with us. But the sad part about many churches today, it's all about feeling. Nothing more than feelings. No, it's not about feelings. It's about walking by faith. Not circumstances, but walking by faith. And sometimes walking by faith doesn't feel good. I think it's so important that we realize and recognize. And you can even put your name next to Joseph in verse number 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord is with you. So, this morning, being the first Sunday of the month, going to partake of the Lord's Supper. But before we do, we're going to talk a little bit about purity. Let me read to you what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about purity. He wrote it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let me read it to you. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. That's not just the men. You women too. Let a man and a woman examine themselves. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so as I'm inviting the ushers to come forward to pass out the cup and the bread, in the quietness of your own heart, just take a moment. Ask the Lord, is there anything, Lord, in my heart, my mind, that I need to confess to you? And ask him to forgive you so that we can examine our own lives, prepare our hearts to be reminded of what Jesus Christ did for you and for me.